Amen. That's beautiful. I love hearing the piano and the trumpet together like that, and appreciate Brother Joel and Miss Heidi. They do a great job with that special. I really do believe they ought to make a CD. Don't you think so? That should be part of the business meeting tonight. We're going to vote on them. They have to make a CD. That's great. Beautiful. Let's take our Bibles to the book of John, chapter number one. Our theme this year is taken from the book of John chapter 3, in verse number 30, where John the Baptist, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, says, "He must increase and I must decrease." And our theme this year is that He is greater than I. And I think that's that's such an important, not only just theme for the year, but it also really is an important thing that we ought to make sure that we remember every day of our life, that He is greater than I. And as John begins to write under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, we know that John has a desire for people to believe that Jesus is the Messiah. John wants people to know that Jesus is God. In fact, in John chapter 20, towards the end of the book, in verse number 31, He says, "But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through His name." And so John says, I'm writing these things because I want people to know who Jesus is. I want them to know that Jesus is the Messiah, the Christ, the one that had been prophesied. He says, I want people to know that Jesus is the Son of God. I want people to know that it is through Jesus Christ that they can have life. And so John, really, the book of John is just an awesome book because it's just, again, all of the gospel records, how God uses all of them for a specific group of people. But John writing really for all men, both for Jew and Gentile, Greek, for all men, because John's desire is that they would know Christ. And in John chapter 1, it's just really fascinating because sometimes we can read through the Bible, we can read through a chapter and not really take a moment and really think about what we've read or even just seeing what's going on. And because our theme was through the book of John, and I was really praying about preaching through the entire book of John. But obviously, if you know me, it would probably take about 5 years to get through the book of John. And by the time we even got to chapter 3, dealing with our theme, it would probably be, 2 years from now, and we wouldn't even remember what the theme was. And so I really don't think I can do this as far as preaching through the whole book of John, but there's so much in the book of John that I think is just so vital, even in dealing with our theme, He is greater than I. Just as I was reading through the first chapter here, and again, obviously, we have the whole book, right? We're able to read the whole book of John. We're able to read the whole New Testament. We can read the whole Bible. And we can see what the Word of God points to. But yet, when you think, as John is writing this, he's writing to people that do not have the complete Word of God. And he's, just as the other gospel writers are trying to tell about Jesus Christ, you just see this burden in John's heart that he wants people to know who Christ is. And just in chapter 1, John refers to Jesus Christ 77 times, just in the first chapter. In fact, in just before, verse number 17 is where John actually tells us the name of Jesus, right? Verse 17, "For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." Up until this point, John has not mentioned the name of Jesus yet, up until verse 17. But from verses 1 to 17, John refers to Jesus 30 times. And so there's no doubt about it. As John begins to write, his desire is that he wants people to know Jesus. He wants people to know who Jesus is. But he's writing to people that don't really know who Jesus is. They don't have the complete Word of God. They don't have churches that they can go to like what we had. There was the Church of Jerusalem that was started, but there wasn't like lots of churches out there. They didn't have, other than the Old Testament scripture, that they could go and read and know these things. And so John is having to write to tell people who Jesus is. And in chapter 1, John does a very, very unique thing. In John chapter 1, John, again, the Apostle John, refers to Jesus with 7 different titles. I don't really want to call them names, although I guess you could call them names, but it's more titles. And so in John chapter 1, there are 7 titles of Jesus. And what we're going to be doing is we're going to be taking these 7 titles, and over the next 7 weeks, we're going to be looking at these things because, again, John is trying to help people to know who Jesus is, because he wants them to know Jesus, not just as Jesus, but he wants them to know Jesus on a personal level, having a personal relationship with him. And when you look at these 7 titles that John gives to Jesus, it's really interesting why he gives these 7 titles, because as we'll see, these 7 titles really tell us who he is. And because of who he is, we really understand that he is greater than I. And so we're going to be looking at these 7 titles of Christ. And notice, as we'll begin reading in John chapter 1, let's begin in verse number 1. We'll read through verse number 5. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Father, we pray that you would just bless as we go through this passage this morning. Lord, just looking to your word, and Lord, I pray that you open our hearts and minds to what you'd have for us this morning. Lord, you know the need of each person here today. And God, I pray that you just use the message to speak to hearts, just draw us closer to you. Lord, we do pray that if there might be someone here this morning or watching via live stream that may not know Christ as their Savior, Lord, that even through this, you'd help them to know who Jesus is and that they can have a personal relationship with him. And Father, just bless now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, obviously, the very first title that John gives, as we've seen here, and he mentions it several times, says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word. Jesus is the Word. Now, it seems a bit unusual, and you're going to have to forgive me this morning because we're going to talk about the Word, but in order to talk about the Word, I'm going to have to say the Word is the Word, right? And so, bear with me, because it does seem a little unusual that John would use the Word to describe Jesus Christ, right? He's using the Word in describing Jesus. Now, the word in the Greek is what many people know as the word logos. Many people, you've probably heard that term before, that Jesus is the Word or the logos. That's the Greek word. And John recognizes that he's writing to all men, and he wants all men to know who Jesus is. John had the privilege of walking with the Lord Jesus Christ on the earth for 3.5 years. And there was no doubt in John's mind that he knew that Jesus was and is God. In fact, a little later in verse number 14, John clearly tells us, as we look in John 1:14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So in verse number 14, he explains a little bit more that the Word was made flesh. Well, who is the Word? Why would John use the word Word in describing Jesus? Again, there's no doubt that John believes that Jesus is God. but how to help others see this truth. Again, you're dealing with the Jews. The Jews were people that did not believe Jesus was God. Why? They thought, well, Jesus was just the son of a carpenter. That really even Joseph, who raised him as his own son, was not his father. That Jesus was kind of born in fornication. And yes, of course, we know Joseph was not his father, but the Holy Spirit was the one that put that seed into Mary so that she could be a virgin and have Jesus, the virgin born. And so the Jews did not really accept him. So how to make both the Jews and the Gentiles, the people that don't really know, I mean, think about it, to the Gentiles, to the rest of the world, well, who is this guy that you're saying came out of Nazareth? Who is this guy out of Galilee that you say died on a cross? How do we really know that he is God like you're telling us? I mean, let's be honest. If somebody from another country said, oh, this person is God, we'd probably be very skeptical, right? So John has a very difficult task here to try to help Jew and Gentile to realize who Jesus is. And so he uses, in describing Jesus, the word, word. Now, and it's very fascinating why he does this, because in Hebrew, again, remember, the Bible is written in two main languages, partially a little bit of a third, but most of the Old Testament is written in Hebrew. There is some Aramaic in there, but then all of the New Testament is written in Greek. In the Hebrew, there is a word for word. It is memra. And this word, memra, was used in the Hebrew to refer to the Messiah in a very specific way. This word memra was also used with the word Jehovah. And so in the Hebrew, the prophets and the Hebrews understood that the Messiah was going to be the Word of God. So the Hebrews, as John is writing that he is the Word, he knows that the Hebrews are going to associate the word Word with Memra, which means the Word of God. That's what the Messiah was referred to in the Old Testament, the Word of God. But what about the Greeks and what about the rest of the world? Logos was a familiar word to the Greek philosophers. It was a word that had reference to the abstract conception that lies behind everything concrete. In other words, they knew there was something behind everything, but they didn't know what it was. There's you can't look at a tree and not know that there's somehow something made the tree. So they could see everything, they could see what is concrete, but they knew that there was something behind it all that formed it, that kept it in its place. And they used the word logos for this. To the Hebrew, again, they understood that as the word of God. But to the Greeks, that word didn't really have a name because it was something that could not be seen. And so they would call it logos. So when John uses the word logos in referring to Jesus, he's using it in a way that both the Gentile and Jew would understand. That even the Greeks, they would understand the word is the one that is thinking, the word that is the one that has all of this under control. The word is the omniscient genius behind the created universe. So to the Greeks and to the rest of the world, logos was the one behind everything. To the Hebrew, logos or memra was the word of God, the Messiah. So John, as he begins to write and as he begins to pen these words, he says, "In the beginning was the Word." And isn't it interesting that as the Greeks and the Gentiles would think that this created universe, there was someone that was there, notice what John does. He introduces the Word and he goes right into what? Creation. into creation. Because he wants them to know who the Word is. Notice what we find. As John begins to explain, we find several things. John says, first of all, the Word is eternal. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Now, again, I'm sorry, I don't normally use a lot of terminologies and things like this, but it's very important that we understand this. In the Greek, the word was here. And again, because the English is a translation, many times we miss some of the verb usage, or it's not, you can't take something from another language and translate it exactly the way it is into that language. It just doesn't make sense. But the word was here. In the beginning was the Word. And please understand, I'm not a grammar person or anything like this. I have had to study and look at some of these things. But the word was is a durative imperfect tense. Anybody know what that means? Nobody knows what that means. Good, I don't feel so bad then. Because I didn't either, right? This durative imperfect tense basically means it is a continual action. It's a continued action. So we would say many times, was means past tense, right? In the beginning was the Word. So it was past. No, no, no. The word was, the verb, is a continual action. So when John says, in the beginning was the Word, he was saying, yes, the Word was in the beginning when the beginning began. Now, the Word did not begin, but in the beginning was the Word. So the Word was in the beginning, and the Word still is the Word. It's a continual action. He did not stop being the Word. He did not stop. And that's why John is showing us that the Word is eternal. In the beginning was the Word. And guess what? He continues to be the Word. He is eternal. Yes, he was the Word in the beginning. He is the one that John is trying to say, hey, you Greek philosophers and you Gentiles, you're worshiping these gods that you don't know who they are. And so let me tell you who the one behind everything is. The Logos. Let me tell you who that Logos is. It's Jesus Christ. He is the Word, and he is eternal. He was in the beginning, that continual action. It means that the Word was already there when the beginning began. He has no beginning because he is eternal. He has always been and will always be. That's why he was able to say in John chapter 8, in verse number 58, when they asked him who he was, and Jesus said, "Before Abraham was, I am." Jesus said, before Abraham was, they said, wait a minute, you're not even 50 years old yet. How can you say that you were alive before Abraham? Abraham was hundreds of years ago. And then they understood. They understood what he was saying. He was claiming to be eternal. He was claiming to be before Abraham. And what did they do? They wanted to take up stones to kill him. Because he was claiming to be eternal. In Micah chapter 5, in verse number 2, but thou Bethlehem Ephrata, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. You see, even in the Old Testament, they knew the Messiah that was going to come was eternal. He was from everlasting. He has no beginning. He has no end. And John is saying, look, I'm trying to tell you who this man is. He is the Word. He is eternal. He has no beginning. He has no ending. In the beginning was the Word. It's interesting that he even uses the phrase in the beginning, the same that we find in Genesis chapter 1, verse number 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And John says, let me tell you something. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. Jesus Christ, the Word, is eternal. But notice, secondly, not only is he eternal, but we also find that John is telling us again, who is the Word? Not only is the Word eternal, but the Word is God. In the beginning was the Word. and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So not only do we find Jesus, the Word, in the beginning with God. So in other words, we think about it, he's saying he is in the beginning with God. So you have the Word and you have God. But then he makes another statement, says, just so that you understand, and the Word was God. You say, well, how could the Word be God if he was in the beginning with God? Well, as we understand through Scripture, we'll find that the Bible teaches that there is a Godhead. The Godhead is what we would refer to as the Trinity, the triune God. There's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And we know that the Son here is referring to Jesus Christ. That's what John is speaking of. That's why, again, when we looked in John chapter 20, verse 31, he says, I'm writing these things that ye might believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is that third person, or the second person of the Trinity, of the Godhead. So he is with God. You have God the Father, you have God the Holy Spirit there, but yet he is also God. He is that second person. He is God. And so he says, look, yes, he was in the beginning with God, but he also is God. John says, I want you to understand that that one that you're searching for, that one that you're trying to find, that you know, that when you look at a tree, you know it has a creator. When you look at the birds and you look at everything out there, you know there is someone that has made all of this. I'm trying to tell you who he is. It is the Word, and the Word is God. He is eternal. He is God. In John chapter 5, verse number 18, just turn over there with me a couple pages. John chapter 5, verse number 18, says, therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him. Well, why? Why did they want to kill him? Well, in the verse previous, it says, Jesus answered them, saying, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Now, you say, well, what's the problem with that? Well, they understood when he said, my Father, he was talking about God. He wasn't talking about Joseph. He was talking about God. And he says, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Therefore, the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, according to them, he didn't, but said also that God was his Father. You see, even Jesus is claiming, God is my Father. Now watch, what does it say? Making himself equal with God. They're saying, you're saying that you are equal with God, and that's blasphemy. You cannot be equal with God because you're just a man. And so what's going to happen is they wanted to kill him. They wanted to stone him because Jesus said he was making himself equal with God. Look over in the book of Philippians chapter 2. In Philippians chapter number 2, Philippians chapter 2, notice in verse number 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be, what is that next words? Equal with God. Jesus Christ is equal with God because he is God. That's what John is saying. In the beginning was the Word. Jesus Christ, the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus Christ is God. He is that second person of the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. But not only is he eternal, not only is he God, but notice, thirdly, we find that he is also, the Word is the Creator. Look what he says here, in verse number 3. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. All things were made by him. Everything that you see had a beginning. Jesus Christ is the Creator. And so I thought God was the Creator. You're right. Jesus Christ is God. He is the Creator. When you go back to Genesis chapter 1, it's interesting, what does the Bible say? On the day one for creation, what does it say? And God said, let there be light. God didn't have to do any action. All he did was spoke the word. He just spoke the word and it was there. And day two and day three and day four and day five, all he did was just speak the word. He didn't have to do anything. He didn't have to get a hammer and nails and build something and put it together. He just spoke the word and everything came into being. You think about the universe. You think about how large the universe is. The Milky Way galaxy, and everybody used to think that, man, the Milky Way galaxy was it. This was all there was. This was space. And then they started getting bigger and bigger telescopes. And they started seeing beyond the Milky Way galaxy, and they started seeing other galaxies outside of the Milky Way galaxy. And you think about everything that is there, and I love in the creation story in Genesis chapter 1, and by the way, you say, Pastor, do you really believe that God created everything in 6 literal days? Yes. Why? Because God said he did it. It's exactly what God said, and I believe what God says. I'm not going to get into that. But here God is speaking, and everything's being created, right? And then God creates the earth, and he creates the sun, and creates the moon. He does all of these different things. And God says, and the stars also. I love that phrase. And the stars also. You say, what's so special about that? Do you know how many stars there are? Galileo used to think there was only about 5,000 stars in the universe. There's quite a few more than that. In fact, there are other galaxies out there, other than just our own, the Milky Way galaxy. There are millions and millions and millions of stars. And yet, God just says, oh, by the way, I created those two. And not only did he create them, but the Bible says he has a name for every single one. You imagine trying to name billions and billions of stars? Some of the names that scientists have come up with are pretty cool names, right? I think the coolest name that I've ever heard come up with for a star is Betelgeuse. That's a cool star, Betelgeuse. This sounds like a cool name, you know? You think of the star Betelgeuse is probably like some black star, right? I don't know. Betelgeuse. But then they found stars that are way bigger than even that. I mean, stars they can't. Now it's not just enough to have a telescope here on the earth trying to look into space. Now they're sending telescopes to space to be able to see farther than the telescopes that are here on earth, to be able to see what else is out there. And they're sending telescopes to space that are going to be able to see even farther. You know what they're going to find? The Creator's hand. They're going to find stars and galaxies and all types of things that they are never able to explain. But I can. Because in Genesis 1:1, God says he made the stars also. And the Word is the all things were created by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. Everything is there. God says, I created it all. Jesus Christ is the Creator. He's the one that spoke the words and everything came into being. He is the Word. He is eternal. He is God. He's the Creator. In Colossians chapter 1, in verse number 15, he says, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, for by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible. So the things that you can see with your eye, he says, I've created those things. And the things you cannot see with your eye, he says, I created those things. I mean, the neutrons and the protons and the molecules and all those things that we can't even see. God says, yeah, I created those. All things were made by him, he says. Whether they be visible, invisible, thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things. And John says, without him was not anything made that was made. He is the Creator. Everything that we can see in the universe has the Creator's hand on it. It's Jesus Christ. He simply spoke the words and it came into being. Can I stop here for just a moment and say, if the Word is eternal, if the Word is God, if the Word is the Creator, let me ask you a question. Is there anything that you're going through that the Word cannot handle? Do we understand who He is? John says, I want you to know who He is. He's not just a man. No, He is eternal. He is God. He's the Creator. And there's nothing that you and I can ever go through that is too big for the Word. There's nothing that we can go through, nothing that we can experience in our life that is just beyond His ability. That's why He is greater than I. He is the Word. Eternal. God. The Creator. But can I show you one more thing? Whether you like to or not, I'm going to show it to you anyway. How about verse number 4? Watch this. In Him was life. Oh man, that's so good. In Him was life. Now again, I hate to do this to you, but again, the word was here is the same word as the word was that we saw in verse number 1 and verse number 2. It's the same word. It is that, remember, what does that word mean? I'm not going to ask you for the actual grammatical definition. What does the word was mean in verse number 1? What? Well, it doesn't mean eternal. It's close to that, but it is a continual action, right? It's a continual action. So the word was in the beginning, so that means He is still the Word because it's a continual action, right? Now watch this. In Him, who? The Word was life. Now again, we would think, well, was is past tense. No. It is that continual action. So yes, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were created by Him, and for Him, without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life. But guess what? Because of that continual action, He is still life. He is still life. When you think about it, yes, when on day 6, God takes the earth and He fashions it into a man. I always, whenever the kids make cookies around Christmas time and they have those cookie cutouts, I always imagine, did God just have like a cookie cutout? He's like, whoop, there He is, you know. Did He like, you know, heap a pile here, okay, that's going to be His head. You know, I don't know. The Bible just says He formed it with the earth, right? So here He's got this man, this image of a man here out of earth, right? It was probably, you know, looked probably about, I would say like me. I'd say that's pretty good, you know. You laughed. How rude. So he's got this man formed in the dirt. But you know what? There's only one problem with this man. There's no life in him. So what does the Bible say? God breathed into his nostrils, what? The breath of life. Man became a living soul. So man has life, physical life. Our heart is beating. Our lungs are pumping oxygen in and out. We're here. Our mind is thinking. Man has physical life because of the Word. But something happened. After Adam and Eve were placed in the Garden of Eden, the Bible tells us that they chose to disobey God. God had told them not to eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and instead of listening to God, they chose to listen to the lie of the devil, and they ate of the tree. God had breathed into their nostrils life. God's intention was for man to always be with Him. But now something has happened. Now there is a separation. Because of man's sin, they are now separated from God. No longer can they have that relationship, that fellowship with God, because sin has now separated us from God. that spiritual death has now taken place, and one day the physical death would take place as well. But on that day, that spiritual death took place. And yet, God, in His love towards man, even though man had just sinned against God, God says, "It is still my desire for you to be with me." And God says, "I'm going to take an innocent animal and I'm going to sacrifice this innocent animal, and His blood is going to be used to cover your sin." The problem is, though, that the blood of bulls and goats cannot take away sin. It can only cover sin. So God says, one day there's going to have to be another sacrifice. Not of blood, or not of bulls and goats, but of the perfect man. The perfect man is going to have to give his life as a sacrifice for our sin. And we, of course, we know the story. We just celebrated Christmas, the birth of Jesus Christ, and all of that means. But think about it. Because the birth of Jesus Christ, and because of Christ living on this earth and living a perfect, sinless life and dying on the cross for our sins and being buried and rising again the third day, now not only does He offer physical life at the beginning, but now He also offers spiritual life. He wants us to have life. And this is what John is saying. Life is in Him. It's not just the life, that physical life that He gave thousands of years ago in the garden, but now He offers spiritual life, because in Him is life. In Him was life. And so now He offers that spiritual life. But friend, can I tell you this morning that spiritual life is only in Jesus Christ. Notice again what it says, please, with me here. Just four words. In Him was life. It does not say in the church was life. It does not say in religion was life. It does not say in the commandments was life. It does not say in being a good person is life. It says in Him the Word was life. That's it. Life can only be found in Jesus Christ. This is why a little bit later, not in the Gospel of John, but in the book of 1 John, in chapter 5, in verse number 12, John states this: "He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." You see, John again didn't say if you have religion. He didn't say if you're a member of a church. He didn't say if you keep the Ten Commandments or if you're a good person. Friend, none of those things can bring life. You know why? In Him was life. You see, that spiritual life can only come through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. He was buried and rose again, because He wants to offer you and me that spiritual life, because He wants us to be with Him for all of eternity. But may I say, Jesus Christ, the Word, does not just offer physical life, and He doesn't just offer spiritual life. You see, sometimes we can think, well, that physical life, okay, yeah, He came, you know, He gave life. And yes, I understand He gives spiritual life. And I know one day I'm going to be with the Lord Jesus Christ for all of eternity. But if we look at it that way, then we're saying that when we accept Christ and when we get to eternity, there's kind of a gap that is there. And that doesn't go with Scripture. In Him was life. That word "was" is a continual action. You see, He offers physical life, and He offers spiritual life. But can I tell you something? Even for those who have accepted Christ as their Savior, you know what He wants you to do? He wants you to live. You say, "Well, Pastor, I don't understand. I'm alive physically, and I remember the time that I accepted Christ as my Savior, so I'm alive spiritually. So what do you mean He wants me to live?" You know what's the problem with so many Christians, and this just, it frustrates me more than probably anything else, is that most Christians are not living, they're existing. They're existing. We're just going through the motions and we're not living. But the problem is, He said, in Him was life. You see, it's not just that He wants to save us and give us a home in heaven to be with Him for eternity one day. No, no, no. He gives us life so that we can live for Him now. here, right now, on the earth. We can live this life for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why he says in Galatians chapter 2 and verse number 20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Oh, friend, can I tell you, you don't just have to exist. You don't have to just go through the motions. He wants you to live, because in him is life. Oh, yes, you can have physical life. You can have spiritual life. But are you living? Are you truly living for Christ? If not, we're just existing. If we're just going with what we want, these are my plans, this is how I want to live, this is what I want to do, we're not really living. We're not living. We're just plateaued. We're just straight. There's no living there. But he says, in him was life. And the life was the light of men. We're going to look at that next week, because the second title that John gives to Jesus Christ is the light. Oh, what a beautiful thing that is, as we'll get into that next week. But can I ask you? He is life. And if he is life and you're saved, you know Christ as your Savior, are you truly living for him? Or are you just existing? You're just going through the motions? You see, I truly believe, and John is pointing this out, that because of who he is, because Jesus Christ is the Word, that he can handle anything that comes into our life. He can handle it. And not only can he handle it because he's eternal, because he's God, because he's the Creator, but he wants to give us a life to live here on this earth. And even later on in the book of John, he talks about the abundant life. You say, well, I just don't know if I can live that kind of life. Wait a minute. He that hath the Son hath life. If you have Jesus Christ, then you have life. You have that spiritual life, and he's offering you that life to live for him. All we have to do is simply surrender to him. Say, Lord, it's not about what I want. Lord, what do you want? Lord, how do you want to live through me so that I can live for you? So often, instead of yielding to him, we want my life. But it says, in him was life. Not in me, not in you, not in the church, in him. Are you experiencing that joyful life? That abundant life that only comes through Jesus Christ? Or has life just kind of gotten meaningless? Going through the motions. We're just existing. Can I tell you, Christian, that's not what he has for you. That's not what he wants for your life. You know how I know? Because he is the Word. And the Word is life. Heavenly Father, I pray this morning, Lord, that you would work in our hearts today. Lord, through the invitation time, Lord, I don't know the spiritual condition of anyone here this morning or those watching via live stream. Lord, maybe there's someone today that's listening to this that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior. Lord, would you help them to realize what John is trying to explain is that Jesus Christ is the Word. He is eternal. He is the Creator. He is God. And only he can offer life. Lord, would you help them to realize that it's not by being a good person. It's not even by believing that Jesus was real. No. Lord, truly understanding what Christ has done and that life can only be through Him. Lord, that if they're willing to repent of their sins and put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, the Word of God, that they can have that life through Him. Lord, I pray for Christians this morning. Lord, we might say, yes, we believe the Word is Jesus Christ. We believe He's eternal. We believe He's God. We believe He's the Creator. We believe that only Him, through Him can come life. Lord, I'm afraid that many Christians are just existing and not living for You. And Father, I pray that You'd put it in our hearts to live for Your Son, to live for Jesus Christ, the One who gave us physical life, the One who gave us spiritual life, the One who's given us a purpose for living now. Lord, that we would desire to live for You as You live through us. Father, would You bless in the invitation? I wonder, with their heads bowed and their eyes closed, no one looking about this morning.